This morning's sermon is going to be a little bit different than how I normally preach, because often or generally what I do is whatever passage we're looking at, we'll kind of go through the passage and what is it that God was saying to the author, and therefore what is the author saying to us, or God saying to us in the message. But this morning I want to do something a little bit different, because I want to focus, as Ian read for us earlier, this idea of story, and that's what the kids are going to be looking at down in Sunday school today. We're going to look a little bit at story. And stories, and what story are we living? What stories are we hearing? What stories are we telling? And so I love the Gospel of John. I love how it mirrors the beginning of Genesis, this in the beginning God was. And that's how he shapes and starts his gospel. And so that's why I wanted to read that or have that read this morning, because it's John telling the story of Jesus. Not just Jesus as he came to earth, but Jesus from the beginning who was. And so we're going to look at the impact of story in our lives today. And so the question that I want to ask you then is, what story or stories are you hearing? What stories are you listening to? What stories are you telling? And what's shaping the story that you're living out? What influences come into your life that shape how you see the world? Because depending on what story you're living in, what influences you have on the life shapes how you see something. And so as Ian had read for us earlier, there's the description of the poppies that are growing wild in the fields. And if you've ever had poppies in your yard, or raspberries for that matter, you know that they will take over the entire place in the course of a few seasons, because they just seem to populate so well. And depending on what story you're living and seeing and working through, you'll see that poppy differently. You might see it as the various biological components that make up the poppy, and how the water goes up and down the stem, and how the flower has pollen for bees to distribute. You might see it as this interesting piece of nature that grows seemingly without bounds. You might see it as a nuisance. I just can't get rid of these things out of my yard. That was my grandparents' yard. My grandma loved the poppies that she had because she liked the look of them, but she was always so irritated how they just kept taking over everything else, and how she kept having to remove them and prune them back and keep them at bay. You might see them as God's creation. You might be in awe of them, and that they have this ability without anything that you do to keep coming back year after year and continue to be fruitful and multiply. Depending on the influence of the stories in your life and the story that you see the world shapes how it is you act and what it is that you do. And so I want you to consider that. What news are you listening to, if any, to be aware of the world? What are the sources of the news that you're receiving? What about the Bible? What about pop culture? What about, which seems to be very familiar in our house, YouTube, other social media? What about your neighbors, your friends, or your family? What stories are shaping the way you see the world? I find it so fascinating today that no matter what belief you have, it can be the most bizarre, strange thing, and if you want to do this, give it a shot. Google a thought or a belief, and I nearly guarantee you will find others in the world who have that thought or that belief. It's the strangest thing. We live in a day and age where people are constantly thinking up ideas or thoughts or beliefs. And maybe there's only a handful of people that believe that. Maybe there's lots of people that believe that. But without having if we're not seeking for truth, if we're not seeking for the really real that exists in our life, we will find evidence or information, maybe not evidence, but information, that will shape any belief that we have, that will agree with any belief that we have. Yesterday at the apologetics course with Green Hills, in the research, I was teaching the lesson yesterday, and in the research for it, I was reading, there is this person, and I don't know whose name it is because I really don't care, who they're trying to prove, they believe that God doesn't exist. And so they came up with the God, the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And the idea was that the Flying Spaghetti Monster is no more real than a God who created the world. And so this person created this idea. But interestingly, it took off as a following. And so now if you Google the Flying Spaghetti Monster, you can buy trinkets and t-shirts and all sorts of stuff to be a part of this idea that the Flying Spaghetti Monster has created the world. It's utterly bizarre to me. I don't understand it. But the purpose of this person who developed that, I believe it was a guy, sounds like something dumb a guy would do. His purpose was to say that God doesn't exist any more so than a flying spaghetti monster. And so there's a group of people that have that same thought and that belief. The stories that you and I listen to shape how we see the world and how we live our lives. And so the question before us then, is what stories are we listening to? Here within our church context, within my own life, I try to live within the context of the story of the Bible. And what Ian had read earlier, I really appreciate how that's from the storybook Bible. I really appreciate that they started there because we so often see the Bible not as the story of God at work in his creation, but we see it as a bunch of rules, or we see it as a story of heroes that we should follow, or we see it as something that's only a piece of or a part of the incredible book that it really is. And so if you read the Gospel of John, if you read Ephesians, if you read the Psalms, if you read Isaiah, if you read Genesis, if you take any of the individual books or letters within the Bible, they're incredible pieces of literature. And when you put them all together, they're the incredible story of a God at work. And there's four, and I've talked about this before, and I want to come back to it again right now, of four sort of movements in the grand story that God has told and is telling. Movement number one is the story of creation. That in the beginning was God, and out of God he breathed creation into existence. The second movement is when he's created humans, and the humans have named the animals, and all seems great, is this idea that humans putting themselves in the place of God and saying, I know better than God, I'm going to act on my own behalf. And so we typically call that the fall, where humanity went the other way. And from then, we know the story with Adam and Eve, or if you've been in church for very long, you've heard the story of Adam and Eve and the difficulty that God promises them will come their way because of them choosing their own direction and going their own route. And he cast them out of the garden, but he provides for them as he sends them out, and he goes with them as he sends them out of the garden. And we get the next few chapters in Genesis where the world seems to spiral down and out of control, where it ends in this tale of Babylon where humans are building a tower to reach the gods, and God says, no, it's not by your work that things happen. It's me at work that happens. And he scatters humanity over the face of the earth is the narrative that goes on, confusing their speech and keeping them from being able to interact with one another. And then the next movement of the story happens. And it's the movement of the redemption in history, where God calls Abram out of the tribe, and he says, I'm going to send you to a place. I want you to travel and follow me, and I will show you where I need you to go. And you are going to be a blessed people, and you're going to be blessing other nations. And through you, the world, the scattered people, are going to get to know me once again. And so in the redemption of history is the third movement in the grand story of the Bible. There's a bunch of different things, and so I'll just go through them really quickly. There's the call of Abraham. There's the Exodus and the rescue of Israel out of Egypt. There's this whole wandering in the desert piece that they learn a lot about who God is and his faithfulness, but they also realize eventually, or at least we realize as we look at the story, that they got it and they didn't all at the same time. That echoes really well for me. And then we come to the New Testament where Jesus enters into this story, where God moves in amongst his people, this wayward people that have been exiled, they've been displaced from where they were, the land that God had promised them, and Jesus enters in as a baby and lives a life pointing people, enters into a new, begins to tell the story of God face to face with his people. He dies and he's resurrected and the mission of the church is launched. This is all part of this redemption in history piece. that we find within the Bible. And it ends with, this redemption history piece ends with, we're still living in it right now, but it will end with God, with Jesus, returning to earth. And the technical word for that is the parousia, but it's Jesus coming back down and restoring all things, in which the final chapter begins. And it's the chapter that lasts through all eternity, which is new creation. That, to me, is an incredibly fascinating story that God creates, man turns away, God works through his people throughout human history in order to draw them back to him, in order to reveal himself to them, promising that he will restore all things, and the story will come full circle, and new creation will occur, where there'll be no more sin and no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more worried about paying bills. We will work as God's people, being fruitful and multiplying, being creative and interacting with one another, building one another up, living lives that reflect God's love for us and the glory that he has. That's the story that the Bible creates. And if you read scripture and you go, I have no idea what Tyler is talking about, I don't see that at all in here, my encouragement to you would be, keep going. Interact with those around you. Because the more I've read scripture, the more I understand scripture, the more I study scripture, that story just bursts forth from the pages. And what's even more is my story enters into there. I see myself reflected in the pages of scripture. I see us as a congregation reflected in the pages of scripture, because the Israelites in the early church, the people of Babel, Adam and Eve, I've been in all of those places. I've put myself in the place of God. I've wanted to do things to build myself up to earn God's love. I've wandered aimlessly, not knowing which direction to turn. I've had incredible moments where I've seen God at work and in awe of his love and his grace. I've seen his people reflect the glory of God. The more I read scripture, the more I see myself and I see us and I see our day and age in it. And so as I think about the stories that I'm hearing, the more I know scripture, the more I see the need for us to follow and obey Jesus. Because when a kid loses their only parent to death at 12 years old, I see the compassion of God. I see his people that gather around and do what they can to care for that child. I see compassion in people who generally just live their lives doing their own thing, saying, I'm willing to, and I had a conversation with a lady last night with regards to Victoria, who wanted to, unfortunately the furniture had already been given away, but she wanted to store some of her mom's furniture, some of Victoria's mom's furniture, in order that when Victoria got her own place or got older, she would have some of her stuff from her childhood. That doesn't happen because we're selfish. That happens because God is at work in his creation. And we see that time and time again in the scriptures. And so there's three things I want us to be thinking about this morning. Last week we talked about listening or paying attention. And as we build on that idea of listening and we talk about story, there's three pieces. One, I think we need to listen to scripture in order to hear the story of God. We need to truly listen to scripture, to study it, to understand it, to do everything we can to understand God's word in order to hear the story of God. The second piece is we need to listen to ourselves in order to live the story of God. Because I don't know about you, but I know for myself, there's parts of me that are not living in alignment with how God would have me live. There's work yet to be done in my life, and so I need to be paying attention to where I'm acting on behalf of myself and where I've released my life to God and continue to release those things that I'm holding on to. We need to listen to ourselves in order to live the story of God. And then finally, we need to listen to others in order to share the story of God. Because we don't all speak, we may all speak English, but as I continue to learn, we don't all speak the same language. When I look at my four kids, I interact with the four of them differently based on their personalities. I push them harder or not as hard based on who they are. I trust them with more or less depending on their capability. And it's not a contest. It's not a contest, gentlemen. It's a knowing them and getting to know them as they continue to grow that I might interact with them and they with me. And so, hearing the story of God, how do you read the Bible? How often do you read the Bible? When it confuses you, what do? What resources help you understand the Bible better? What voices or stories are competing for the time and energy in your life that's telling a story that distracts us from God's story? If our default is always to just do what I want to do, I never really want to read Scripture. Unless I get in the role of reading Scripture, then I want to continue reading the story. But when I get distracted by other stuff, when things get difficult, when what I should be doing is turning to God's Word and resting in His Word, my default is to turn on Netflix or some other mindless entertainment. How are we reading the Word of God? How are we hearing the story of God? In what ways are we turning to it? And when it confuses us, what are we doing about it? So wherever you find yourself today in this, if you're not reading Scripture yet, I would encourage you to start. If you are reading Scripture, ask with what intent are you reading it? Is it just to get through it? Just to say I've read my Bible reading for today? Or is it to hear the Word of God? And to evaluate what other stories you're taking in. Are they helping you understand God's Word? Are they neutral? Are they hampering you and keeping you from really hearing what God has to say? Secondly, living the story of God. Do you see your life in the pages of Scripture? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world? Do you follow Him with everything you have? Are you daily surrendering your desires to the will of God in order that you might reflect His glory and engage in His mission? Are you recognizing gaps between who Jesus calls you to be and who you currently are? And are you repenting when these differences are revealed to you? If we're going to live the story of God, we have to ask ourselves, am I really a disciple of Jesus? Do I know what being a disciple even looks like? And if the answer to either of those questions is no, my encouragement, my challenge for you would be to turn to the person next to you and ask. Begin the journey of seeking out what it means to follow Jesus. By all means, contact me. But there's 60, 70 people of us here that we can interact and share with one another to share our own stories of how God has been at work in our lives. If you're not living as a disciple of Jesus, if you're not living out the story of God, is that a knowledge issue? You don't know how? Or is it an obedience issue? You're choosing not to. We need to know ourselves. We need to listen to ourselves in order to live the story of God. And finally, sharing God's story. Do you know the lives of those around you? What motivates them? What frustrates them? What concerns them? What excites them? What fears do they have? Can you reasonably articulate or tell the life story of your neighbor? Because if you can't, it's really tough to tell God's, to share God's story with them because you don't know what language they speak. You don't know what difficulties they've faced. Some people don't go to church, they don't follow Jesus because they had a horrible experience in church as a child. And if you say, hey, you should come to church with me, it's great, they're going to say, not a chance in the world, I went there and this horrible thing happened to me. If they say to them, hey, you should come to church with me, it's great, or you should follow Jesus, and they'll say, who is Jesus? What is Jesus? I have a Spanish friend named Jesus. I mean, I don't know what it is. But we need to know people. We need to know who they are in order to effectively share with them the story that we live. As you know the story of the people around you, can you make a bridge or connection between their story and God's story? And so if we're going to grow into this, what we have to think about is, and my challenge before us, is get to know someone more this week. If you've got a neighbor you've interacted with for a little bit on a superficial level about the weather and how great it is that it's not minus 30 anymore? Is there a means of getting to know them a little bit more, to invite them out for lunch or over for lunch, out for coffee? What about the people we sit with amongst the pews? Is there someone that you could have an opportunity to get to know more, to learn their story, to share in their life for the purposes of loving them and knowing who they are? We always need to be taking the next step, because any good story continues to move forward, continues to develop and unfold. And if you've ever read a really good book or ever watched a really good movie, it's those ones are the ones you don't want to ever end, because you're being taken on this journey. And I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is that story. That you and I are currently living within God's story right here and right now. He's called us as the church and each of us individually as Christians to be engaged with him on his mission towards new creation, to reflect his glory in everything we do, and to invite others to do the same. And so I thought to wrap up today, I would share a little bit about my own story and where things, the journey that God has had me on over the last 35 years, since I was 5 or 6 years old. I grew up around Christians. I didn't go to church as a family, we didn't go to church. My dad, in fact, rejected the idea of being a part of a church community because he said they were all hypocrites. And again, that he had this story in his past that affected him. But I had my friends at school tended to be Christians for whatever reason. And one friend in particular, his dad was a pastor, and so I started going to a evangelical Lutheran church. I had no idea what evangelical means, and I'm sure I asked him, but it wasn't until I was later in life where I learned what that meant. I had another friend that went to an Alliance church, and so I'd go and I'd interact in youth groups, and I remember hanging out with him. We went on a camp out once, and I heard the story of God at work in his life. In high school, I started coming here, and part of the Baptist church, and again, I had no idea what Lutheran, or other than they followed Luther, I got that part out of the church. Alliance, I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded good because they were allied together. Baptist, I had no idea other than John the Baptist. And so I had these influences throughout my life where I heard God's story and God's story in and through his people. I was encouraged to follow Jesus. I was encouraged to think about what it meant where I was going when I died and those kinds of things. But in high school, and I'd always kind of read the scriptures because I was confused by it. I was intrigued by it. Could this really be God's word? If so, I didn't understand his language because it was written really difficult for me to understand. And in high school, though, I started reading it a little bit more earnestly. And actually, a friend of mine, Mark and Ange, at the time, we weren't dating at all, but they were good friends, and they gave me a study Bible, which I have sitting in my office still. Despite stains and ripped pages and whatnot. And in it, it had all sorts of information about that helped fill in the Bible better than I had understood it on my own. And so I continued to read the scriptures and to understand as best as I could, and I was given a couple different testimonies of people who had written books about their lives, and eventually in grade 12, in the summer between grade 11 and grade 12, I said, all right, I'm in. I'm gonna take a shot at this. It was a bit of a gamble kind of I'm going to follow Jesus aspect, but I committed to following and to growing in that understanding. And since then, I was then baptized up here on Christmas Eve in 1995. And since then, I've continued to grow. And it's been a journey like this. So there's been moments in my life where I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Following Jesus makes no sense. What if it's all baloney? And there's been moments, and those moments are continuing now for my life, where I'm utterly, utterly convinced that the Bible is God's word to us. And I'm growing and learning that the more steps of faith I take to trust the ways of Jesus, the more I'm convinced that they're true. I couldn't say with 100% certainty, because I don't know God in all of his ways. But I continue to grow more and more convinced that Jesus is who he says he is, that we can trust him with everything we have, and that his ways are actually the only ways. When I see tragedy and despair, struggle and hardship, I'm more and more convinced that we need to put our trust in Christ. We need to let go of control, and we need to pursue him with everything we have. Because God is creator. And despite us falling away and constantly wanting to put our own interests first, he entered into history and continues to redeem through history, calling us as the church to reflect his glory and to be engaged in his mission. Because one day he's going to come back and he's going to restore all things. And there will be no more pain and no more sorrow, no more death and no more debt. We will be living face to face with God, where there will be no more sun and no more temple, because God is that. He is all light. He is all life. And the more steps of faith I take, the more I realize how true that is. And so whatever story you're living today, whatever influences are shaping who you are, my encouragement and my challenge is that we would hear the story of God, that we would live the story of God, and that we would share his story with those around us as we get to know others, that we might be engaged in his mission as his people in this time. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word that tells of your incredible love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to seek you with everything we have, to put our trust in you, to go out called by you to reflect your glory and your love. We pray, Lord, that you would work within our lives, and in the areas that we struggle, we would turn over to you. For those of us who are feeling confused, who don't understand Scripture, who don't understand the Bible beyond a book of rules or disconnected people, I pray, Lord, that they would begin to ask questions of one another, that we would grow together in an understanding of your word, that we would study it diligently, not so that we have knowledge in our head, but so that we might live fully in light of the love of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this morning, for a chance to gather as your people. Amen.